so good. You know, one of the purchases I made a long time ago when I was still buying a thing called CDs.
I still do.
Was the London Years, the three disc set for the Rolling Stones. Oh my God, it's such good stuff. All the early stuff. 6:38 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Joining us now by phone, we have Escambia County Administrator Janice Gilley. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you this morning. Let's start with something that it's ongoing news, but it is important news because this is really, really important that people fill out their census. And what we're finding, I guess, is the door-to-door workers who go by and check if you haven't already filled out your census, people are what? They're not willing to talk to them. They're not getting the normal return rate from that door-to-door activity. Is that right?
Yes, and you know, and I understand in these times folks are nervous, and you all also want to make sure that you know, the folks approaching your house are who they say they are. But what I, you know, it's very important that we fill out the census. Our goal for Escambia County and City of Pensacola is to hit an 80% return. I believe our previous return was around 72% at the last census. As we can see, you know, federal funds are attached. And there are other things that are attached in terms of our redistricting that comes up. And so, you know, the more folks that we have counted in our community, it does benefit us. And so the typical populations that you may not count, too, are populations like the active duty military that live here. So anyone that lives here on the day of, on the days of the census when it's counted should be counted as Escambia County residents. You know, students in the dorms and things like that. But I do know that the teams have been out. They've been trying to contact the community. You know, there are also other ways in which you can respond, which is online. And Escambia County has links on our website. We've also provided video in conjunction with the city, special messaging, you know, just trying to get the community to get really engaged and fill out that census. It's only a couple of questions. And, you know, we're hoping that we can get a higher rate of response.
Absolutely. It's essential. It is essential for making sure that we get the funds that we are supposed to get based on our population, and also so that we have, like you say, accurate drawing of district boundaries and apportionment and all of these things. You know, you could have one or even two state representatives or congressional representatives for Florida hang in the balance of whether we do or do not fill out our census, and we certainly don't want to lose the influence that we have in Congress because people just don't, you know, don't trust the person who comes to their door. Which, you know, it's fine to ask for ID, but do the census. It's that simple. Hey, some of the stuff that's going on, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, we talked about this earlier in the week, this Ensley Beautification Project over at Old Palafox and Johnson Street. I will be honest with you. I live in this area. I drive past that intersection all the time. I don't understand this plan because we have a big park to the west and south of there already. It doesn't seem to fit the area at all. And it's just, it's odd to me that we would be spending money in this way. Can you help me understand the kind of the justification or the idea behind this project?
Yeah, I think, so one of the things that we like to do in all of our different community redevelopment areas is, you know, find ways to provide beautification, you know, to make it an area that people, it's like a destination, right, where people would want to go and gather. It's kind of an iconic you know, presence for that community. You want to have it where you provide that pleasant park experience. And then, you know, you have places for paths or, you know, seating areas. You know, that's an awkward intersection as it is. I'm sure you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Since you drive it. And so trying to get that realigned in such a way that it's a less awkward situation, but also providing, you know, sidewalks and pathways for the pedestrians that utilize that area would be important. And it will be connected. You'll be able to see the connection once it's all completed with other crosswalks, sidewalks, and things like that. And also trying to make sure that we provide a bus stop there where it's ADA compatible. Because as you know, that area, there aren't a lot of sidewalks. And I know that Commissioner May has worked exceedingly hard in trying to make that improvement in that area. And there are a lot of sidewalks that he's been able to put in that area since he's been commissioner. And so I think that just providing that, I want to say, I'm going to use the word iconic park, would be really important for that community in terms of just providing that experience that currently doesn't exist on Old Palafox.
Yeah, and I guess you know, my sense of it is I'd rather see the sidewalks themselves rather than the park, or especially on a place like Old Chemstrand, where, I mean, that is a terrifying road to walk on or bike on, and even to drive on at night, you know, and so if we saw improvements there, it seems like that would be, you know, maybe a better investment. So I just wanted to raise the question for you and kind of, you know, see, I understand the answer, but, you know, maybe just kind of see what was going on there. One of the other things that you guys just put out a release about yesterday is the Living Shoreline project down in District 2, which has been going on for a long time. It was not 100% clear to me what the change or the difference, or was this just an update? This is with all the oyster reefs and all that kind of stuff for the cleaning of the water quality. But maybe tell people a little bit about what this project is doing.
Yeah, so what it's a different approach. It's where you're supposed it's to stabilize the shoreline using a more natural approach. And the way you do it is you use different submerged vegetation, and a lot of times you do use the oyster reefs. This particular project is going to be helping stabilize a portion of the Navy base. It's called Sherman Inlet, and so that's one of the areas that we're looking to help. And it's, you know, the Navy is very, very supportive in trying to get their, you know, shorelines, because the last thing you want to do is continue to have that erosion that does typically happen, you know. And then it's the other thing that happens is, you know, a lot of times people use seawalls and bulkheads and riprap, which, you know, that just creates a different type of pressure, you know, with the water against the shoreline. And this way is a more natural way to do it. It's a more aesthetically pleasing, but it's also a more helpful way in terms of, you know, the way it can clean the water naturally.
Okay, well, and I, you know, I love the project. I think what it's doing is fantastic, and, you know, it's good to see expansion of that, as you say, as opposed to these artificial measures, which are ugly, less effective, and, you know, not really the kind of ideal solution in the long run. You know, we've been talking, we're talking to Janice Gilley. We've been talking about this, you and I have, for several weeks now, the use of CARES Act funds to help people out in Escambia County, the launching of a website and all that. And this morning, the county commission is having a special meeting to deal with partially that, but also procurement policies. Is that right?
What they're going to be doing is they're going to be dealing with the funding agreements with several of the entities that we have already talked, that they did approve last week. One of them is Feeding the Gulf Coast. One of them is related to the Visit Pensacola, so that they can do a public health campaign for visitors that would come into our community, so that they would know that our community is doing everything we can to try and help make it a safe experience for them when they come visit. And then the other one is today we'll be doing the Community Health Northwest to do some rapid testing, where they'll be purchasing analyzers and the tests. And so there'll be about 20,000 of those tests available. We'll also be using those analyzers around the community. So that will also help us to not have just one particular location where folks can go. We do also have another funding agreement that's not completely finalized with Sacred Heart Ascension Healthcare, and that's for 30,000 tests that they would be doing up at their Bayou Boulevard location, and it would cover those that are uninsured and unable to pay, you know, don't have insurance coverage for the test. So those are the four funding agreements that we've already talked about. But there are a couple of decisions that the board will be looking at this morning in terms of the criteria for the household grants and the emergency financial assistance and the small business emergency financial assistance. And then we will be talking about the implementation of those. Implementation isn't an inexpensive thing, as I'm sure you can imagine, when you're looking at making sure that you have a program that protects personal data. And, you know, because you have to validate the folks that get the grant, either with, you know, driver's license, social security card, tax information. So it's not an inexpensive venture to manage that. And so we'll be talking about that as well. The good news is the costs for that implementation are covered under CARES, but there's that. And then also the mayor has asked to come back and also discuss his subrecipient agreement with the board again. And so I expect he'll be here to discuss that as well.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you'd be surprised how expensive it is to give money away, especially when you have to, but there are rules. I mean, you have to follow these rules. And as you say, it's those costs are covered, but you still have to do that apparatus properly in order to satisfy all the various legal requirements that go along with that money and everything else. Janice, you sometimes have a question for me. Do you have a question for me this week?
Yeah, I'm going to be fair and balanced, and I'm going to ask you, last week I asked you what your favorite speech was last week. What's been your favorite speech this week at the convention?
So I think probably the one that jumped out, I love the Herschel Walker speech. I thought fantastic. And I think generally speaking, the black speakers who have been like, hey, I've been a lifelong Democrat, or I'm a Republican, and here's why, like Daniel Cameron, the Kentucky AG, who talked on Tuesday night, those have been the ones that have resonated the strongest with me. So, those are the ones for me. So,
well, I'm
I will not make you comment. That would be unfair of me in your position. So, good question. And like you said, you asked me last week about the DNC, and I gave you my answer there as well. Janice Gillies, she is the county administrator for Escambia County. Janice, I always appreciate having you on the show, and thank you so much for what you do serving our community.
Well, I just want you to know I love this community, and I appreciate everything that you do in terms of getting information out there to folks, and so I appreciate you as well.